We learn our lesson well, waiting upon him. So today, talk a little bit about this character in the Bible. Just was reading through it this week and kept focusing on it and just kind of thinking about it. And it's going to come out of Mark. And it's out of Mark chapter 9. And Jesus has come off of being the transfiguration on the mount. It talks about his clothing became shining exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can even whiten them. And then verse 7, a cloud came over and shadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son, hear him." You know, we got to do that today. Hear him. Hear what he is saying. Amen. But it goes on to say, and that's after that transfiguration, but what I was looking at the end of that, and it's for me, maybe for you. Let's just hit it. This one verse. Verse 24. Immediately the father of the child cried out, and he says with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." Don't raise your hands, but how many times have you been around at times where you've had unbelief? It happens. Going through a situation, how long has it been? Or we've seen this taking place and we've had many people pray for it. And we've had, well, look at this. Why did he say that? Well, let's go back. And when he had come to the disciples in verse 14, he saw a great multitude around him and the scribes disputing with them. Verse 15, immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out or cast it out. But what happened? They couldn't." And Jesus says, "Oh, faithless generation. Oh, faithless, oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." They brought him to him, and when he saw him immediately, the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he says, and he asks his father, "How long has this been happening?" And he says, "From childhood." Verse 22, "And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Now we look at that the spirit in him was wanting to do what? Destroy him. We have a spirit in our world of today that wants to do what? Destroy us. Kill, steal, destroy. Same spirit, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us. Help us, or help us. Verse 23, Jesus says, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." If you can believe, comma, all things are possible to him who believe. And then immediately in verse 24 is where we got to. The father of the child cries out and says, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." So we know what it takes. We know that it'll take faith for us to believe and to trust God's word, doesn't it? And that's where it's at. And we know in Hebrews 11:1, where it says this is the description of faith that we read in God's word there, faith is the substance of that of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We could say it a little this way. Faith is the substance or the realization of things hoped for. We realize things that are hoped for. The evidence, or we have the confidence of things not seen. We have got to build up our realization. We have got to build up our confidence so that we don't walk in unbelief. Amen? And so that the Spirit of God is in us and leading us and directing us, and He is taking care of these things for us. We look at the note here. So it says the author here that we have in Hebrews supports his encouragement to steadfast faith by reviewing the triumph experiences of Hebrew heroes. And today we call it the chapter of heroes, the faith chapter. First, he is providing not a definition, but a description of how faith works. Faith is established conviction concerning things unseen and settled expectations of future reward. And settled expectations of future reward. The Greek word translates substance literally meaning a standing under, and was used in the technical sense of the title deed. The root idea is that of standing under the claim to the property to support its validity. Thus, faith, hello, is the title deed of things hoped for. We can look at quick a definition of what is faith. Faith as far as a definition of faith, and then looking at one that is called faithfulness. I want to just give you the definition here of faith real quick. Faith here again is a conviction, a confidence, a trust, a belief. Remember it talked about belief? So he was saying, I have that, but I help my unbelief. I do believe, but help my unbelief. Trust, belief, reliance, trustworthiness, and persuasion. We find this word in the New Testament as pistis, in the Greek as divinely implanted principle of inward confidence, assurance, trust, and reliance in God and all that He has said. And what does it say? An inward trust. The faith that we have, the faith that He has given us, is inwardly. It's our faith within us that He has put there and that we are going to continue to use, and it's going to continue to do what? Develop and grow as we go through this life. Have you looked at yourself recently and realized maybe your faith has grown? Amen? Little by little, faith has developed in you. And the reason why it has developed in you and it has grown is because you've had problems. We all have problems. But we got to realize these issues, these problems, that things that come across our path, they are there to build us up into things of God. It's to there tell us and to show us how faithful we are trusting God, what is on the inside of you to hold you up, amen? It's not holding up to this podium and holding on to a crutch or whatever the case is to hold me up. What holds us up in times of trials and tribulations and situations is that of the faith within us, knowing that my God will be there and my God has the answer, and it will come. And it will come. And He will perform it to His perfection on His timetable and to do with what He wants it to do. Amen? So it's not like whatever I want, I can get. But I know my God, and my God knows me. And so anyway, we're looking at this as it's a confidence, a trust, a belief, a reliance, and it's the inward confidence. Now, we can look at it real quick of the things of a faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faithful. Faithfulness or faithful. So we talked about faith. Now, what faithfulness? Now, this is coming out of that of Proverbs, and I'm reading this. And it comes in the word wealth here that it comes out of. It's talking about that in Proverbs 28 towards the very end. And it says this in verse 20, Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. It kind of, we were in Proverbs back at Sunday school, and we're kind of talking in some of those areas. And a lot of Proverbs, we look at a lot of things, is just your time of working, your time of developing, your time of accruing things, finances, taking care of things, working, building up. But anyway, a faithful man will abound with blessings. A faithful, when we look at that word faithful, remember it talks about faith. It says here, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faithful or faithful being is a firmness, a stability, a fidelity, conscientiousness, steadiness, certainty, that which is permanent, enduring, and steadfast. Now, I find this interesting because in this area here, in this root word, emuna for faithful, this emuna comes from the root aman, to be firm, sure, established, and steady. Well, look at this. Amen is derived from the same root, which means it is firmly, truly so. So when I was looking at that this week and reading that, it's like, well, how many times when we say something about, man, God is good, how many times do people say, amen, brother? Amen, sister. You're speaking that of faith, that by faith, amening it, faithfully, I'm saying, yes, God is good. Or when we say amen to anything, it's like, it's true. Yes, and so be it, is another way of saying. So when we say amen, you know, that's what sometimes when somebody's preaching the word and all, and people out there going, amen, brother, amen. They're saying, let it be, surely it'll be. Faithfully, you're being faithful, you're speaking it out. But anyway, I just found that amen is derived from the same root, meaning it is firmly, truly so. It is often translated faithfulness or truth, as truth is considered something ultimately certain, stable, and unchangeably fixed. Now, God's word is true. You got to get your mind out of the world's ways. The world's ways are lies, and it's deception. But with God's word, it is true, and it stays true, remains true from the beginning to the end. That's why we can stand firmly on it, and that's why we can say amen to it. Amen to God's word, because it is of faith, and that God is a faithful God. He is not going to say it and not mean it. Amen? What God says he means, and what he means, I want it to be in my life. If he says this for Tim, I want it. Amen, Lord. Will I always have a perfect, smooth sailing life? No, but he will be there during the rough times. Amen. By faith, I know he's there. So, let me look here. Mark 23 to 24, we just said, Jesus says to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cries out and he says with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. What he is saying here, help my weakness of faith. I know. And it's not to put anybody down, and people that sometimes get this thought process like, oh, my faith is weak, I'm not a Christian. You are a Christian, it's just at this point in time, your faith is weak, and God will give you the strength. Amen. Ask him. Just like this man says, I do believe, but help my unbelief. What I believe is everything that God's word says is true. Amen. And what God's word says is true, I'm going to hold on to, and I believe that he will manifest it in my life at some time or another when I need it, at the time I need it, to help me in whatever situation. Even if that situation doesn't go the way I wanted it to go, I know that it went the way that my God wanted it to go, and that he is the one. And so, if it doesn't line up with my desires, I have got to turn my desires into his desires. If it's not in my will, I've got to say my will needs to be his will. But I didn't want this to happen. But God took care of it. And even though it could be a tragic thing here, if I stay and remain by faith with God, he will show me and get me through that, whatever that is. And I truly believe I will be able to look at it and sometime in the future to say, that made me stronger. What God wants to do is make us stronger in our walk with him. And not that he wants tragedies to befall us. Not that he wants hurts to come upon us. But we know those things will happen because of where we are living in a fallen state. God has probably protected you numerous times from something harmfully happening to you. You just don't know it because you made it through it or it never got that close to you. Amen. Woo! Thank you, God, right? But then there will be those times that something like that might happen. This man with his son, you know, from birth or from a young child convulsing and being thrown into the fire, thrown into the water to destroy his life. The enemy wants to destroy your life. If he can't destroy your life, he will find somebody around you that he will try to, or maybe in succeeding to destroy, to get at you. But we got to remain a surety that my God is my God, and that I too, Lord, help me with my unbelief at this time. Don't run away from God because that is wavering. Run to God. Don't allow the enemy to put something in you to say, well, you are not that close to your God. Or he will say, the devil will say, God must not be that close to you because look what has transpired. I will get there. Yes, Lord. We too at times may have a time of weakness of faith. If so, that we can do the same thing that this father did and just be honest with God, guys. Amen. Don't be walking around as, oh, everything's fine. Oh, I'm blessed. Everything's great. Oh, fine, you know. Say it like it is. I'm having a hard time. I'm struggling. I've shared that from the pulpit at times. I've said, you know, hey, I'm wiped out. I'm trying to figure out what direction this thing is going, where God wants, what's the church going to be about. I don't know anymore. I don't have a clue. I'm getting kind of frustrated. I'm getting kind of down. I'm getting this. But you know what? It's like when I confess those things, it's within that next week out there when I'm with God, God will pump me up into something and give me something in Scripture, give me something in the natural to see, cause something to come across my path, a letter, a text, an email, a phone call, blah, 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 whatever. And it's like, yeah, God, you're not gone, or you're not through with us yet. Hallelujah, God. Amen. So it's okay to confess to this point that I got some unbelief right about now. Lord, we're 40 years into this ministry. This, look, where are we at? But we're right where God wants us at. Take my eyes, take your eyes off of the natural, what we see, and put it into the perspective of what God sees, what God plans, what God has still got planned. Amen. God still has plans here. God still has plans for your life. Oh, but I'm 82 years old. I don't care. Are you breathing? Yes. God's got a plan for you. Amen. Oh, I'm crippled up. I'm hobbling around. God has got a plan for you. Maybe it's through healing. Maybe it's through new knees. Maybe a new shoulder. I don't know, but I do know this. We will have a new body. Yours is just coming. A little ways out, but still, it's coming. If nothing else, say, well, if I'm going to be with this and be with that and this and that, Lord, I know my body that I've got coming, it's there. It's probably already designed, but maybe the later you are, you'll be a newer model of people. Maybe you'll be, you know, OnStar. Maybe you'll have, you know, Wi-Fi. I don't know. We've already got Wi-Fi. Hello, the Holy Spirit. Glory. We have already got all of these things that man's putting in. We are already connected to a source of power by that of the Holy Spirit to get us through these times of our life that we can go on and survive and do what God wants us to do. Oh, God, I do believe, but help my unbelief. He said, I'll do that. Now, the dictionary in Webster says this, unbelief has to do with skepticism. See, even in our church, even myself, at times I can have some skepticism, unbelief. Again, I just see this happening. It's been so long, this, that, blah, blah, whatever the case is. You know, when you live long enough and go through, you will go through some things. Amen? Everybody here has gone through some things, in some things, or some things are coming your path. But don't waver, don't cry out like I'm out of here. Stay firm, stay strong, and say I'm going to meet it head on with that of God. Amen. I like this. When I was thinking about this even late last night, it's like unbelief, skepticism. Skepticism is this, an attitude of doubt. So we have this skepticism, unbelief. We have this little bit of doubt in us because I'm going through this situation, or I've been in this situation for such a longevity of time. I'm beginning to doubt. When we feel that way, when we start confessing that, we hear then, or the devil then hears that, and he goes, great, Tim is starting to doubt. He's got skepticism about his God. That's exactly what I want him to have. My work is really working out good because I may not have thrown Tim in the water or in the fire. I hope not either one, but I'm scared of water. You know, I wear a life vest even when I take a shower. You know, I'm scared of water. But he's there to destroy my life. Maybe not throw me in the fire, into the water, but he is doing things to destroy, to distract, to cause me to move and leave and do whatever. And I've had to make some decisions throughout my life. Way back when God had a call on my life to do this, What was the next thing that the enemy had when I was working with my company and the regional person comes up to visit and he says, Tim, I'd like to ask if you would be willing or would you like to go to New Mexico? I've been in central Missouri, southern Illinois, now I'm in Wisconsin, was only up here for like a year or so. We're wondering if you would like to go out to New Mexico and work in a district out there. I'm thinking, oh, what? We just got here. They don't force you. At that time, they're really nice. They would ask you, talk to your family, talk to your wife. Think about it. We would like to move you to New Mexico to take care of some things out there. I'm thinking, oh, okay, now I'm really getting turned on with God here in Wisconsin. The Rock Assembly was really power and pushing. God was pumping things into me at the Rock Assembly, Pastor Borson, studies, praise, worship. I was getting downloaded tremendously by the things of God where I was at. Who do you think put that thought into the company to say, let's get him out of there and see if he would go to New Mexico? Walmart was doing nice. They weren't trying to destroy me. Who was trying to get me out of the will and where God had me? The devil. So the devil was using my career and my advancements to say, now you've been to two or three places, let's move you over there. So I went home, I talked, I visited with the pastor. I said, Pastor, you're not going to believe this, but they've asked me if I would like to move. I don't think I should move. I want to stay where I'm at. I'm getting so much of God right here. I think I need to stay. He didn't say you need to stay. He didn't say nothing. I just sounded to him as a sounding board, and then we left. Next day, I went and met my regional managers. We're touring the area in Wisconsin. I said, you know, I thought about it, prayed about it, and I said, I'm staying here. Okay. Okay. It wasn't like, well, no, it was okay. I believe that was the enemy putting a snare out there to try to get me out of here. Because why? Because I was hearing from God right where I was at. I was getting downloads consistently from God. And he was beginning to show me a projection in my life that I had not planned on, prepared for, or went to school for. Had no understanding, whatever. But my spirit in me was telling me, but I had to have him make a decision to say, I'm staying. And then that pastor, about 6 months after that, said he's retiring and left the church. So that showed me that I was not staying there because of that pastor, which then showed me to go God, to me, God, to me. Me and God were talking a lot. Was that I was not looking at man that was furthering my advancements with God. Man was not advancing me. God was advancing me, but he was using man to implant these things of God until I got hooked up to God directly to where I had him then. I didn't need to go to the pulpit, to the pastor, to the message, out there. All of a sudden, it was just automatically God just started downloading things of what he had plans for me. But I had to make a stand, and I had to realize and know what the enemy, and I felt in my spirit, devil! I've been away from Jesus for so long and never really followed him. Now that I'm on his path, I do not want to leave it. I'm staying here. Okay, so here we are. But the enemy will come in as best as he can to try to pull you off of where God wants you to go or what God has planned for you. You have got to be wise. And we talked in back in the back room, do not make snap decisions. But it's like, no, God has me here. It's, oh, what a testimony. Oh, I got so much there. So, remember, attitude of doubt, skepticism, attitude of doubt. So then, this goes way back. All of a sudden, last night I'm sitting there, and guess what hits me? Jesse Duplantis. Maybe that's why Sundays are fun days. Fun days at Sunday. It's not at the Dells, hallelujah, it's at the church. We ought to have, you know, water slides here. Well, we do. We got a baptismal there. We might, Dan, fix the slide up. And we ought to have fun when we come to his church. Amen. When we come into the congregation, when we come and meet together, it needs to be a time of encouragement and building up and strength and praying for the needs and rejoicing and praising and glorifying God. Hallelujah. It's a fun day. Sometimes people turn Sundays into sad Sundays, sad days. They walk into church dooming and glooming. And man, hit the door of the church. Read the thing above the wall where the walkway when you come out. Enter into the fullness, it says, of his joy. Read it when you go out. I think it says that coming in, I hope. I don't know. It says something like that. So, Jesse Duplantis. And something when I just heard Jesse. And it says this. And I had to look it up online because I could play it, but I wrote it here. It says, if you learn to doubt your doubts, remember, skepticism, an attitude of doubt. If you learn to doubt your doubts, you won't be a doubter no more. And if you can doubt your doubts, and then he began to share this. Why, when God says something, we begin to have doubt. But when the devil says something, why don't we have doubt with what the devil says? We believe the devil right away. Isn't that crazy? We hear something wacky, we believe it. It's from the devil. God says something, and we go, I don't know. Do you think that? Am I hearing it right? I've never said that at times in the early along in my life when the devil spoke to me. I never said, is this the devil? I don't know. It sounded good. Hey, that's right. Let's do that. And it was usually wrong stuff. The devil, steal, kill, and destroy. So Jesse says it kind of like this, if I can remember. It's like if you can doubt your doubt and doubt the one that gives you the doubt, then when the devil sends doubt to you, doubt the doubt of the doubt of the devil. Jesse likes to talk in like circles in some of these things. But yet, just go on, Jesse Duplantis and doubt on a search. And you could probably go to a little thing that he was sharing online of his thing. But Jesse Duplantis, yeah. And you think about that. Why is it so hard for us to doubt what the devil says? We believe the devil, but we doubt God. We've got to get it turned around, guys, to where we begin to believe God at all times, because God is a God of love, truth, direction. And we've got to, when we hear things like that, and it's coming from the enemy, we got to turn the doubt over to the doubter and say, I doubt that you're right, you doubter. Anyway, learn to doubt your doubts. You won't be a doubter no more. Remember, unbelief, one of the means, skepticism, an attitude of doubt. Now, what about belief? That's a state or a habit of mind in which we trust or we have confidence that is placed in some person or something. I have what? Belief in the things of God. I have trust in the Word of God. I have the belief that He says what He says. I read the Scriptures. I believe these things, these healings. Lazarus coming alive, the widow, the little girl, this boy, all the healings, all the manifestations of things that Jesus did, all the rebuking of the spirits and bringing them out of people. I believe Jesus did all those things. I don't doubt it. So I have a belief in what God did and what Jesus did or what God did through that of His Son. So in my mind, it's a state or a habit of a mind in which I trust and I have confidence in the things of God. But there's a thing that I've got to remember, that I've got to work on, though, because I could be just like that father. I do believe, but help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. We find that as Jesus, in this area of Mark 9:23, as Jesus is sharing in this verse, He's not leading us to believe that we can, what, automatically obtain anything that we want if we just think positive. Jesus is saying that anything is possible if we believe, because nothing is too difficult for God. Let's go outside and just look at creation. We cannot have everything we pray for or pray about thinking that we can receive by some magical formula. But with faith, we can have everything we need to serve Him. This is all getting back to who? Me or Him? Him. Whatever it's going to take for me to serve God, God will manifest, God will provide it, God will make it happen so that I can, like my Jesus did, everything I say and do brings honor and glory to my Heavenly Father. Not to my house and my savings and my 401 and all of these things. Now, those are a blessing of God, and He will bless us with those things that we need to sustain ourselves here. But ultimately, everything that we're doing, everything that we're a part of, needs to be on that direction. All of a sudden, Bill, you're here, and I was starting to think like flights and stuff. It all needs to be on that vector. Vector is what? The direction or something like that. We need to be on that vector of going where God wants us to go. He has got a flight plan for us that he put in place at the time of when? Our birth. No! Before we were formed in our mother's womb, I knew you. God has a plan. God has your travel orders. Amen. God has your direction all planned out. You've got the things to go. Talk about a travel agency that gets your plans and your trips. We were watching a thing on Smithsonian about big cruise ships, and it's really interesting. You jump on these ships and they take you to all these islands. You jump off, you have a day of frolicking and going everywhere. You get back on the ship while they're sleeping. You know, the crew is guiding the ship to the next excursion. They get up in the morning, they eat, they have all their things ready, they take them to the islands, they take them to the city, they get them out there, they have fun, they bring them back, pack them in, have supper, go to bed, go to sleep, go to sleep. They sleep, they wake up, and they do it again the next day. They have an agenda, they have a planning, what do they call that? I don't know. Itinerary. Thank you. Who said that? God bless you. They have an itinerary. You have an itinerary. God has your itinerary already in his hands. He's handing it to you. The itinerary is to take his word, read his word, let it come alive in your life, and you will glean out of his word your direction for your life. And when he speaks to you, you will hear him. When he speaks to you through his word, when he speaks to you through the spirit into your spirit, he will use that of his word to help you. And then all of a sudden, he will guide you. You will be going and you will be doing and you will be on your journey with God. Amen? Amen. And when you have unbelief, just say, Lord, this is a little crazy for me. I have a hard time believing this. I had that. But God is faithful. Oh, Jesus. But he is a God that does give us and takes care of us. Amen. We look at this in verse 24. The trust and the confidence the Bible calls belief or faith, and you'd find that in like Hebrews 11, 1 and 6, is not something that we can obtain without help. Faith is a gift from God. You can look at that in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. No matter how much faith we have, we can never reach the point of being self-sufficient. Faith is not stored up like we may store up food or like how we might save money or anything that we kind of hold on to and build up so we've got it. Growing in faith is a constant process of what? Daily renewing our trust in Jesus. Faith, you cannot store it up. It builds, amen. It grows, it develops, and it's going to be there when you need it, amen. Faith is not stored up like we do storing up food. Growing in faith is a constant process. Every day, we are growing in something of God and that of faith. We hear the news and the things out there. My faith grows every time I hear something on the news. It's like, whoo, Lord, help me. And I know he's there to help me. But we know these things are developing, but it's a faith. You know, we talk about faith is, I read some of belief and all, it's like inside or faith is in us. But it's not like a muscle. You know, I can't work, so to speak. But we do say we've got to exercise our faith like that of a muscle, like we exercise our body, so that we build up our muscle, we build up our body to function, right? You find somebody that does not walk, that does not do a whole lot of activity, and their muscles and their ligaments and all their tendons, they will just turn to mush. Mush. They have no longer the strength to even stand up and walk five steps. You've got to be moving. You've got to be bending. You've got to be exercising and doing these things. We've got to do that same thing with our faith. But our faith, we're not building up a big faith muscle where I can take my arm and like, dun, 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 like Popeye. Like, Lord of my faith. Faith is something inside you, something in you that guides you, that leads you, that tells you everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Oh, there's a song out there. Everything's gonna be all right. But it looks terrible now, but everything's going to be all right. With God, all things are possible. He will get you through it today. He will get you through it tomorrow. Just when you're going through it, be out there shouting and praising Him. Amen. Amen. So we need to grow. We need to develop our faith. The only way you can develop and grow anything is by what? Using it. The only way you can get mobility back in your knees after we've had several people with knee replacements, shoulder replacements, to get they can put a new thing in your knee. Your knee's brand new. But is it going to bend automatically? No. Will you have the mobility like you had when God put your knee in there? No. But they will say, you need to work it out. You need to bend it. You need to keep, crunching it into where it's all of a sudden you get your full motion, whatever that motion is. We have faith in us, but if you do not use your faith, if you do not step out on the things that God has specifically told you to step out on or to do, your faith is not exercising. Your faith is going to be just like that of a tendon that's just dangling there. Here's my faith. Here's my faith. I can't. With your faith continually, daily being renewed, continually being strengthened, continually looking at God's Word and meditating in His Word and allowing Him to minister into you by that of the Spirit, He will help you, lead you, guide you, direct you, build you up, and He's building you up today for what is going to happen for your tomorrow or the next day or the next week. For we know not what tomorrow holds. Just focus on today, for tomorrow has enough troubles of its own. Church, get ready. Your tomorrow's coming and you're going to have troubles. Well, thank you for that shout of praise. Hallelujah, Lord. Bring the troubles on. But we can be ready for it if we daily do our faith exercises. Reading His Word, praying before Him, meditating, just sitting still before Him, and just allow Him to speak to you. He shares so much with us every day, but we've got to stop. What's that sound? Everybody's looking, going around. You got to stop. Oh, there we go, Bill. Ooh, stop. What's that sound? The sound of my God. It's my God saying, if my people can hear my still small voice, they will be my people. Tim, Denny, Linda, Bonnie, Janice. Oh, I gotta say everybody now. Okay. Bill, John, Dan, Ina, Don. But his my sheep know my voice. And it's best time is His still, small, still voice, where He's not having to yell at us to get our attention. We're just sitting outside, sitting at a table, sitting in our chair, sitting at whatever, reading His Word, sitting there meditating, praying, our eyes shut, whatever the case is. And He's just saying, Tim, this is what I got for you. Tim, I know this is happening. Tomorrow's going to be different, or this will happen, whatever the case is. I've said this many times when I've had some thoughts about, like, okay, where is everybody? Lo and behold, God will bring, but they never stay, but God will bring visitors through that front door. When I'm down, like, well, nobody's even coming, Lord. I've had words like, the next Sunday, they're here. It's like, oh. I'm going, oh, I see it, and I go, okay, God. Now, do they come back? Sometimes, maybe one or two times, and then not, maybe they don't, but that week I was talking to God and saying, God, there's not even anybody coming out here to even visit us. So I believe my God because He loves me. He loves me more than He loves you guys, you know that? No, He loves us all the same. But He loves me, and I think He says, I'll take care of that, Tim. I'm going to show you that I'm hearing your visit with me. And all this person comes in and they go out. And I go, that's right, God. Wonder, I always like that. How did you find us? How'd you get here? Did somebody tie you up and bring you here? And it's like, oh, I'm just whatever, searching this or online and thought I'd come out and visit. That's God drawing. So I always know God will draw his people to his church, and those that will stay and those that will go. But for me, I mean, it's just like, yeah, it's just like a confirmation that when I've talked to him about those things, I think that's that time like that of that father. Lord, I believe you can do a lot of things. Lord, I believe you've got a good plan for this church. It's been here this next month, 40 years. There's got to be something here, Lord. It's got to be something. Now, granted, maybe when I was praying, I wish I had more people that could hear me. Then all of a sudden, he put corn around us. And now he says, Tim, you've got ears that are listening to you all over now. That's what happens when I sit out on that back bench. And me and God just start laughing. Okay, Lord, okay, yeah, look at all these ears out here. So maybe I need to stand back here and I go, listen, you corn stalks. You that have ears, hear. But I think God's got a sense of humor. So now I just need to say, Lord, I want ears with two legs on a head. No. God will do what God is going to do. He just wants us to be faithful and true. He wants us to be pleasing and pleased with him. I want to say, Lord, I am pleased with you. Hallelujah. And those are those times of my unbelief, but he has helped me with my unbelief. He has brought back my faith. He has restored it even more. And then we move on. Amen. You've got to move on to the next and the next. I might be back out there at the bench. Who knows? Another month or two, next year, next week, whatever. Lord, I know you're God and I know you can do everything, but I believe that. But help my unbelief because I've been seeing this for so long. This father was saying that because his son had been, what, tormented for since childhood, since birth, or whatever. It goes along to the fathers. He said, it's a constant thing, this. I take it to your people, and they couldn't pray and get it out of him. What's going on? I know you can. That goes into another direction. But then again, it's just talking about that unbelief. Growing in faith is a constant process of daily renewing our trust. It's the song that we had today. Wait, wait, wait upon the Lord. We must wait. Oh, we get tired of waiting, but we got to wait for the Lord. And it's in his timing and in his way that his answers will come and then unfold in our day. Well, thought I could get this done in an hour or 45 minutes. Yeah, so we'll carry this on maybe the following week. I want to get into the area of wait, because in the area of wait, you'll find that in part of, like in Psalms, that word of wait, I've read in the description of that word wait in that particular verse, puts me into a track of waiting in faith. It ties into the faith. Our waiting upon the Lord is tied into what? Our faith. You have to have faith to wait. Because why? What does it say? Remember? It says faith is the substance, the realization of things hoped for, the evidence or the confidence of things not seen. Many things, maybe as your life as well. You've got many things in your life right now that are unseen. Anybody looking at some things in your life, totally, you're like, where is it at, Lord? You know, Doug, you know, there's things in your ministry, direction that God has taken you. You're going out there. You've got the faith, right? But it's unseen. You're stepping out on faith. You're going into the reservation. You're going over here. You're going down there, whatever the case is. And it's by faith, your trust in that of God, because God has put that on you, that call. And so he will be faithful, amen, talk about faith, he will be faithful to complete what he has started in us. And so he has started something in all of us, and if we remain true to him, he will be faithful to see it through. We've got to do our part and be faithfully holding on and trusting and relying on him. Remember, once whatever you've got your faith in comes about, it no longer takes faith to believe it. It's there. So then what happens? We talked about it. Now your faith builds again. Now he's given you some other thing of faith you've got to hold on to for another unseen thing he's got in your life. You know, Doug can go into these reservations by faith it took to start the whole thing out, the process. He had no inkling at all of being able to get his white man's foot into a reservation. But through contacts, hello, God placing contacts, he makes that way. And then he's received as not as a Native American or as a white man into this reservation. And now they build that relationship with him personally. That wasn't like that in the beginning. That was by faith, the unseen taking place. Now Doug sees that there, but now if he goes somewhere else, guess what? It's going to take faith to do that into there until it manifests. By his faith muscle building and growing and developing, now he sees this, and God says, well done, good and faithful servant. Now you're going to minister my word here and do what I've asked you to do here. Oh, and by the way, whoever it is, and I'm just picking on Doug, but now I'm going to send you to Alaska and fly on a plane that's made with a snowmobile or snowmobile engine. No, a snow machine. Takes a lot of faith when you're walking with God, doesn't it? But we all are walking with God. You know, you look at men and women in ministries that are really out there in the things of faith, you're going, wow. But I can look at you here, and I go, wow. Look at all of these people here. They're walking in faith. Wow, what an awesome God. Whew. Father God, I love you, and I thank you right now for this time. I love you, and I thank you for your message. Lord, I believe this message was your message. It is your message. I thank you, Lord. I hope, I pray that I was able to bring it and present it, Lord, in a way that you would like it, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, if I didn't, Lord. Give me another chance, whatever. But I believe, Lord, that people will take it and work with it and move with it, Father, by that of we believe, but help our unbelief, help our faith. We develop and grow in faith, whatever these things are. And Lord, when the time is right, Lord, in a week or two or a couple of weeks from now, Lord, let us bring it back and give me some more in regards to wait. They that wait upon the Lord, amen, will renew their strength. Well, Lord, we are in a time, everybody, throughout the beginning of time, but now it's in our time. All of us, Lord, are waiting upon the Lord. And our strength, Lord, needs to be renewed. And I pray that today, Lord, for each and every one of us that are here, renew our strength, Lord, our physical strength, our spiritual strength. Lord, I pray for those that are outside that have not been here for some time. I pray for those that are not here because of the holiday or they're sick. Lord, you know who they are. I pray that, Lord, you will renew their physical strength, renew their spiritual strength, Lord God. And I pray now, Lord, that you will visit those that are missing right now, Lord, by that of the Holy Spirit. Speak into their spirit, into their quiet time or wherever it may be, Lord, and just do a work in their lives. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord,